John chapter number 15. We're going to look at this. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and after last week we taught some about how God's created each person individually and for a specific purpose. And I had three or four different knives up here, and I showed you last week how, yeah, they're all a knife, but each one's special, and each one's used for a specific purpose. And I don't use each one for the same thing, but, you know, sometimes we get this idea that, well, I'm better than somebody else because I'm used for this. Well, okay, you are used for that, but they're better at something than what we are. And I think it's important as Christians that we understand these things, and we understand that, you know, God didn't make every one of us the same. And God didn't create us all the same. And it doesn't make one person better than the next person. It just makes, if each person does exactly what God wants them to do, each person is doing what they're supposed to, okay? And anyway, I've been thinking about doing this, and I think the Lord kind of gave me peace about doing it. But I'm gonna teach a series. I've got 15 things right now listed. Just little truths that God has taught me, and I'm going to, I guess, label it lessons from my toolbox. Lessons from my toolbox. Because I think God's allowed me to do a lot of different things with my hands, and there's a lot of times I'm working by myself, and these thoughts come as far as, hey, this is a truth. This is something that is very applicable. And so I've got most of these. I'll have something visual because it is. It's just a very visual thing. So we're going to look at some of these things in the next few weeks. I don't know if I'm going to do all of them. I really want God to let me do what He wants me to do. And so anyway, John chapter number 15, we're going to look at a few verses here. John chapter 15, look at verse number 4. That's where we're going to start. We're just going to read two verses here, and then we're going to jump around a little bit. John chapter 15, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Look at verse number 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." All right, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you guide my words, guide my thoughts. Lord, help me to be a blessing to the folks in here. This is something, Lord, it's not just applicable to me. Lord, it's applicable to everyone in here. And Lord, I pray that we would live our lives in tune with you and doing what you would have us to do. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I brought, it's all wet because someone's been, just carrying it here. I brought my, this is just a nail gun. I've got lots of these, different kinds. This is a roofing gun, okay? I've used this for roofing, and I actually brought this, I don't know if he's here yet this morning, I brought this from Brother Weddle, and actually I've got two of these, and both of them I brought from Brother Weddle, and this is a wonderful tool, all right? I do several roofs every year, and this is a great tool. I would not, you know, some people are like, well, you're better off if you hand drive them. You can hand drive nails all you want to. I like nail guns, and I can do it so much faster with a nail gun. And this is a nice tool. It's kind of beat up. It's used, all right? It's well used. It's a well-used tool. And I try to take care of my tools, but, you know, it's part of it. They do wear out. But, you know, this tool is great. It's, you know, this is probably a $400 nail gun, brand new, okay? And it's a nice gun, and it works great, but there's no matter how much, how nice it looks, and I can even show you on the inside, it's got a clip of nails in it, all right? It's loaded. It's ready to go, okay? And as much as we, you know, as nice as it looks and as practical as it could be, you know, I can take a piece of wood all day long, and it's not going to do anything. Nothing. You know, honestly, this tool, the way it sits, quite honestly, this tool is useless. This tool has no good for me whatsoever. Okay? I carry this one. This one's most of the time in my toolbox on my truck. Okay? And this toolbox, this roofing gun, it's a nice tool. I love it. But the way it sits right here, it's useless. The other day I was leaving. I had to do a real small patch job, and so I was like, "Well, I got my gun in my truck," and so I went to leave, and it was in Linton, this job was, and I got all the way to Linton, and you know what? I forgot that yes, I had my gun, but I didn't have this. Okay, now this is very important. The air compressor, okay? An air compressor is pretty essential for this to work, okay? Now, if I don't have an air compressor, I might as well have a hammer and a box of nails. They'll do me much more good than than this gun will, okay? And what I want to talk to you today about is plug into the power. Plug into the power. Because every one of us, God's created everyone, like I talked about last week, as an individual tool. Okay? God's created us as a certain purpose, something that you can do in your life. And I believe that for everyone. Some people are like, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know what God wants you to do. But if you're still alive and you're still breathing, there's something God wants you to do. Okay? And it's not the same as what God wants me to do. Okay, and it doesn't mean that one tool is better than the other tool. Like I showed you last week with the knives, it just means that there has to be a specific tool for every job. Okay, I've got two of these guns, but the two guns don't look the same. They're different. Okay, I've got another gun that looks almost like this, and it takes a coil of nails like this, but on the side of it, there's a tube. And in that tube, it's got washers. Plastic washers, and it's engineered in such a way that every time I hit that bump trigger, it not only puts a plastic washer out, but it puts a nail right through the center of it. It's pretty slick, okay? But it has a different purpose than what this one does. So these different ones, I do use them for different things, but ultimately, this gun does me no good unless it's plugged in. Unless it's plugged in. The Bible says, abide in me. Abide in me. Look what it says in verse number 4. Abide in me. Now, I thought about bringing a power tool, like a saw, an extension cord. But quite honestly, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit's referred to as breath, and as almost like an air. Okay? And I got thinking about this. You know, this tool, if it's plugged into this air compressor... This has got just a little bit of air in it. All right? This hose now is charged. It's got air in it. Okay? But no matter how much I want to drive a nail with this, unless I take a nail out and maybe turn my gun over this way and start smacking it, okay? Now that's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time. And it's not good for the tool. Okay? You know how this tool can get abused? When the tool's not used for the way it's supposed to be used for. You know how Christians wear out a lot? Is when we try to do things with our power instead of plugging it in. Okay? When you get plugged in, I hope these nails aren't too long. But you can use it. You said, "Bro, Chad, that was loud." Yeah. That was loud, Anthony. All right? But you know what? It can function. It can work the way it's supposed to. Now, it didn't because my nails weren't in the right spot. But you know what? This tool, and I can do a lot of nails. Trust me. This gun has driven, I buy nails... about 3,000 nails in a box, easily, okay? And I mean, I can go through a lot of nails really fast, okay? Thousands of nails. We can go through a lot of nails, But you know what? That only happens because of being hooked into the power. Amen. And as Christians, many times what we've done is we think, well, I can handle teaching my Sunday school class by myself. I can handle going soul winning by myself. Honestly, I can handle being a good Christian, a good husband or good wife by myself. But you know what we're doing? We're not using the tool the way it was designed to be used. And I think the Bible says, abide in me, plugging in, and I in you. That's an interesting relationship. Because you have to be plugged in, but then the air flows through you. Okay? This air that comes from that compressor is spent. If I use it enough, the air in that, I'd have to plug that compressor. And now I've got a gas one I use for most of my jobs. If it's a small one, I'll use an electric one. But it constantly has to be replenished. It's a flowing through. It's not I'm a reservoir, I'm just going to build all this air up. No, it's a constant supply. You got to be plugged in. You got to be plugged in. And as a Christian sometimes, and I know myself, it's easy sometimes to say, well, I don't need the air, until you get someplace and you realize, I got to have the air. Some of you have had air tools, okay? An impact wrench, something like that. You know, an impact wrench is even more useless than a nail gun without air. I mean, it does no good whatsoever, okay? Brother Chris over here, he's a certified Cadillac. Is that what you told me? Cadillac mechanic, all right? You know, he can have all these nice air ratchets and all this nice stuff, but until he plugs that thing into the air, that thing does no good whatsoever, okay? Now, we all understand that, but it's sometimes harder to apply. Say, Brother Chad, what causes... what's an applicable truth for this? You know, we've got all the different tools, but it can all use the same air, okay? You can all use the same air. Power is available. Let me just say that. Power is available to each and every person in here. The ability to serve God, not with our own strength, not with our own ability, but with something that, honestly, okay, if I said, you know, air is an interesting thing because you can't see that air. You can only see the effects of the air. John chapter number 3, remember the Bible talks about in John chapter 3, the wind bloweth, or let's go over there, I want to show you that. For a long time, John chapter number 3, let's see if I can find this verse, I didn't write it down. Okay, John chapter 3, look at verse number 5. Bible says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's talking about a physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we've got two births, the birth of the flesh, and then it says the birth of the Spirit. That's why we say a Christian is born again. Okay, that's why we say that. Now look at this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, verse 8, I've got circled in my Bible with a question mark beside it. Because I've always kind of thought about this verse a lot because it didn't make a lot of sense to me when I was younger. And I'm not even saying I have it 100%. But in my mind, this is kind of what it means. The Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Listen, folks, I can't see the Spirit of God in your life. You can't see, even if microscopically you hoped you were able to, you cannot see the air passing through that hose. All we see is the nails being driven. All we see is the noise. You know what the Bible says here? You said you can't see the wind. You only see the results of the wind. You can't see the wind blowing through the air. You only see the leaves when they're moving. You feel it on your face. Okay? And you know, I believe that's what the Spirit of God is. Yeah, we can't always see it. Well, how do you know a person is Spirit-filled? It's not because you see this aurora, this cloud shadowing this person. Oh, that's a godly person. No, it's based on what they're producing. Okay? I can tell when that... There's several interesting things once you use a tool so much. I can tell the instant, I mean, I can go bam, 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 bam. As fast as I can pull that gun across the shingle, I can put four nails in it. Okay, that's how I do it. Bam, 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 bam. And honestly, you can ask people, I can do it about that fast. Okay, four nails in less than 2 seconds, easily. Okay? But I know the instant that gun runs out of nails. Sounds different. I know instantly that gun's out of nails. Okay? Without even seeing that it didn't put a nail in, I know it didn't put one in. But you know what happens when I start running out of air? The nails start going as deep as they should. And my efforts, I can hit that gun on that as hard as I want. The nail won't drive. And I have to come back with a hammer and I have to finish it. Okay? You know we run out of, when we don't have the power of God, things don't get done the way they should be getting done. Okay? So power is available. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Power is available to every one of us. Okay? Luke chapter number 11. Look at verse number 13. Luke chapter 11. Verse 13. Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You know, I believe that sometimes we just don't have the power, honestly, because we're not plugged in, for one thing. We don't ever ask God, "God, can you help me today with this? God, you know, this is the beginning of a new day." Hey, and I understand, pretty much nobody in, Brother Joe gets up in front of folks and speaks, you know, preaches. Brother Tom gets up and leads singing, but most of the rest folks in here, you don't get up in front of people a whole lot and do things and, you know. But when's the last time you asked God for help today with just the task of today? Wouldn't it be better that we had Christians, instead of trying to live our lives, woke you up, didn't I? Instead of trying to live our lives like this, wouldn't it be better if we all lived our lives like this? And so no matter what, that makes it scare you? Yeah, don't worry. I have to pull this trick. No. No matter how you live your life, that every time you do something, you pull the trigger, and then you bump that, it's making a difference, okay? I don't care if it's working at Hobby Lobby, or working on the job site, or working in a coal mine, or you're retired, and you're still working, you know, everybody's like, "Well, I'm going to retire," and then you're busier than when you ever were working, all right? Doesn't matter what you're doing, wouldn't it be better that we had Spirit-led people instead of people that just try to do it, I'm going to do the best I can today, okay? I don't remember the man who it was, but I heard the story that he prayed, I don't remember, it was a lot in the morning, like 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and somebody asked him or something. He said, how can you afford to pray for that long in the morning?" And he said, "I can't afford not to." You know, and I think it would be awesome, and I'm not there. I'm just going to tell you. So many times I try to do things because I've God's given me the ability to do it. So you go and do it, and then it's like you all day long, you just spin your wheels. You can't get anywhere. Wouldn't it be better if you said, "God, can you help me with this today? All right, help this go better." And I think God wants to. God wants to come down, and God wants to use the Holy Spirit to help us. Okay? Well, we go visiting, and we try to invite somebody to church. We try to tell somebody about Jesus, but it's just the words that we're saying. Versus there's times I stand in front of people, and I know I'm not the way I should be in my heart towards God. And then there's times it's like, "All right, God, you've got everything." And then God comes and works in amazing ways when even the times that you think that was lousy. And then God says, "I'm going to use, all right, you being available, but then me working through you. I'm giving you that power." Okay? And then you see results. Okay? It's available to all of us. We got to ask for it. Power is available to all. Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. We'll look at this. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse 17 and 18. I'm going to show you it is available to all. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." I believe we're in the last days. Okay? "Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I think those two verses pretty much summed up every age category that there can be. And you know what he said? He's going to say, "I'm going to pour out my spirit." Okay? But you still got to plug it in. Yeah, that hose can sit there full of air, ready to go. But you still got to plug it in. You still got to get that power. You know, and I can't have this gun sitting in my truck and say, well, you know, I pull it out and I look at it and say, you know, you did a really good job for me that last roof. I mean, not a misfire. You performed flawlessly. You did a great job. You had the power then. And then go up on the next roof and try to do it. You know what? Every time I use it, it's got to be plugged in. I can't depend on the success of last week to do the roof of today. Okay? I have to do it every time for that to work. Every time. And it's available to all. God's available. It's poured out. We see that. To your sons, to your daughters, to your young men, to your old men. To the servants, to the handmaidens, it's available to everyone. So, Brother Chad, well, why don't we have this more? Why don't we have it? Go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to show you why. And I know this is absolutely 100% true in my life. Why don't we have the power of God? Why doesn't Chad Gordon live, not just every once in a while, why don't I live with the power of God? I'm going to show you why, okay? Romans chapter number 8. Now, you know, if I was going to say, all right, tell me a verse out of Romans chapter 8, guaranteed almost everyone in here, if you're familiar with the Bible, you would go to Romans 8:28. Okay? So let's go look at 8:28. All right? That's the one everyone wants to go to. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Boy, isn't that a blessing? You know, that's an encouraging verse, and praise God for that verse. And that we pull that verse, and I understand what people do. It's like, well, we've got all these bad circumstances, so we're going to go to Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But what about, you know, verses 1 through 27? All right? Let's go back and look at this, because we all want these things to work out right. We all want the circumstances of life to work out right. But if you look at Romans chapter 8, it's talking about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Okay? Let's look at verse 1. And we don't have time to read all this, but Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit." Okay? Verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity," that means against or an enemy, basically, "against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Okay? Now listen, if I'm doing things by the flesh, I'm not plugged into that power. Okay? And I can't do things the way that God wants me to do. You know who the Romans 8:28 is talking about? It's not talking about this one. This person here. I don't believe that. You know who Romans 8:28 is talking about? It's talking about this person. The one that says, all right, God, I want you to, I don't understand everything, but I want you to control me. I want you to fill me. I want you to use me. I want everything that I do to be a result of the power that's not sitting over here untapped, but that's flowing through me. Okay? And that's what I think that's what God wants us to do. The whole chapter here, Romans chapter 8, is talking about this fight between our flesh and the Spirit. And you know what gets in the way of the Holy Spirit using me is my flesh. Okay? That is, 100% of the time. All right? It's not because the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of me. It's because the Holy Spirit doesn't empower me, doesn't use me. Because why? Because I'm trying to do everything because I can do it. Okay? And we can go, I mean, honestly, we can go all the way through this. And there's all kinds of different things that the whole, you know, why don't we have the Holy Spirit of God? Let's look at verse number 14. Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, a lot of people, especially young people, I find this, and I've mentioned this before, young people that come a lot on the buses, a lot of times they doubt their salvation a lot. And let me explain this to you. What happens in a Christian's life is, when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, he doesn't leave. It's not like he's, you know, he comes for a little while and then he just, you know, leaves. No, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit does come to live inside of you. But what happens is we get so much flesh built up, okay? And we get so many things going on and so many, you know, we try to do so much in our flesh. The Bible says the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. But if we got all this junk in our heart and you're not plugged in, okay? And you're not plugged in and that's not constantly going through there, you know what happens? Wait a second, am I saved? Am I really saved? You know what the Spirit does? He reassures us. I've actually got another. I've jotted all these down. I got lessons from my toolbox, and I don't know if this is the right term. I told my wife, I said, this is probably not the right term because I don't know what a guild is. Everybody know like the old time guilds, like medieval times they had guilds. Like I guess it'd be like a union. I don't know what a medieval type union, but it was basically, you know, you had. A blacksmith guild. So it was all these blacksmiths that got together. But I thought about doing lessons from the guild because I like the artisan crafts. I like the things that they used to do, like blacksmithing and those different type things. But, we got all these, you know, these thoughts. But I don't even know where I was going with that. But anyway, I had a really good thought, but I lost it. I apologize. but you know what happens? Our flesh gets in the way. Okay, our flesh gets in the way of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 5. Over and over and over, the Bible shows us this. And then I'm going to give you a very practical illustration. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. All right, you know why I can't do some of the things I wish? I wish I could be a better soul winner. And we can wish all that all the time. I wish I could be more impactful for young people. But you know, just wishing it doesn't make it come true. You know how you can make that stuff come true? You know how I can if I put down my flesh? So I'm not trying to do things in my flesh. By plugging into power. Okay? But what we do is we feed our flesh. We'd rather feed our flesh because it feels good. Okay? People listen to the wrong kind of music You know why? Because they're ultimately, and I can show you this, I 100% believe this, because their flesh desires it. People look at things that they shouldn't look at because their flesh desires it. People go make money, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with money, but there's something wrong with the love of money. And we go and we get all involved in materialism. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs, our mouth craveth it of us. Okay? We do it because we want it. It feels good. It's nice having things. Why? That's our flesh. Okay? And we put down our spirit. We neglect our Bible time so that we can have another hour of work. We neglect our Bible time so we can have another 30 minutes of sleep. You know what that is? That's that spirit and that flesh fighting against each other. Okay? So we see that in Galatians. If we keep going down here, it gives us the works of the flesh. And there's a whole list there. Verse 22 and 23 gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And these are contrary, the one to the other. And if I live in the flesh, I'm not going to accomplish anything. Yeah, it's a nice looking tool, but it only functions properly with the power that it could if I'm engaged, if I'm a part of the Spirit. Okay? All right, let's go to Judges. Let's go to Judges, chapter number 6. I love Judges. It's an encouraging book, and it's a sad book, quite honestly. Because you see, over and over you see the downfall of Israel. And that's the sad part. But the encouraging part is that throughout Judges is mixed in all these men who were individual people that God pulled out of the, you know, the records of history and said, I can use a common person. But it's interesting how many times there's one common factor in all of these. Okay, and I'm just going to show you a couple of them. Go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Verse number 11. And the Bible says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. All right, so this guy, he's hiding. He's in hiding. He's thrashing wheat because he's afraid of the Midianites. And this angel comes to him and says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. You know, he's like, where? we could use one right now in our country. You know, that's kind of what Gideon is like. Who are you talking about? Because he doesn't feel like he's a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Now listen, he's asking a question here that's important. If God is with us, why are all these bad things happening? All right? What did we just talk about in Romans 8:28? And we know, you know, he's asking the same question. God, if you're really with that, a lot of us do. God, I've been serving you, I'm with you, and I, you know, I understand God sends people through trials, and that's a huge lesson in that. But God sends us through trials to make us better people, okay? But Gideon's asking this question, God, if you're really with us, why are all these bad things happening? Okay, a question that we all ask, all right? There's nothing wrong with that question. And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, the Bible says, what did he tell Gideon? Verse number 14. Okay, look at that for me. The Bible says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Well, Brother Chad, didn't you just tell us that we're not supposed to do things in our own might? True. 100%. But what was the might that God was talking about? All right, let's go back. If he said, go in this, he's referencing something, correct? Go back to verse number 13. It's this question that I think Gideon is asking. He said, and where be all his miracles? So he's been thinking about this. Which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That's his might. What are you talking about, Brother Chad? You know, I think it's important that we always go back to what did God do for the previous generation? And how can I have God do that for me? And you know what that leads us to? The Spirit of God. Because nothing has ever been done that has been lasting for the cause of Christ that has not been done through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What was Gideon's might? The fact that he knew that there was something missing. Okay, go down to verse number 34. So we got this story, you know, Gideon throws out the fleece, you know, a couple different times. Look at verse number 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. You know what the might ultimately was? Was he knew that his father saw something miraculous in Egypt. He said, where is that? And then I believe through a set of circumstances, you know what he said? All right, I'm just the son thrashing wheat. But God, if you'll work through me, you know what he said? He didn't, when he broke that, you know, he broke that clay pot from around that thing and those lights shone. He didn't say, I am Gideon, hear me roar. You know, he didn't say that. What did he say? He said, the sword of the Lord. End of Gideon. Hey, I'm here too. But you know what? Where did that power come from? The Holy Spirit of God working through him. Okay? It wasn't Gideon's sword and his 300 men. It was the sword of the Lord. But why? Because he knew that there was something in Israel in his day that was lacking. He knew that God wasn't among them. He knew that that air wasn't flowing through. If that air is flowing through, when Israel was right with God and the Holy Spirit was working through the Israelites, no one could stand before Israel. No one. All these heathen nations, not a single one of them ever had a chance to stand before Israel. I love this story where the Bible talks about, and I couldn't even tell you the men. I have these stories sometimes. But when they're sitting there, and there said, and God told the men, he said, when you hear the sound of wind in the mulberry trees, that's when you go. Yes, you know, so many times we're just, you know, we're going, and that's good. But what about the wind? The people in the upper room, that's another one. Wasn't there a wind that came in? Hey, I'm not a spooky person, but sometimes we've eliminated the air. And we're trying to do everything with just the gun. And God's not in that. Okay? God's not in that for sure. Another one. Judges chapter 13. We're in Judges. Let me show you this one and we'll be done. Judges chapter number 13. I love this guy. Judges chapter 13. Look at verse number 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now there's no other person in Judges. And I don't honestly even know if there would be maybe in the Bible. I can't clarify that because I didn't look. But there's no other person in the Bible that was more moved by the Spirit of God than what Samson was. At least in Judges. Okay, so he was moved. Go to chapter 14. Chapter number 14. Verse number 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother, what he had done. Look at verse number 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Go to chapter 15. Look at verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Not because he, you know, that was the weapon of choice for the day, okay? People didn't normally just pick up donkey jawbones and start swinging them. Why was it? Because the Spirit of God was flowing through him, okay? But the problem with Samson was Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 5. You know what his problem was? The same problem we all have is his flesh got in the way. He wanted something that he shouldn't, that the Spirit would not have wanted him to have. And it was women. That was Samson's downfall, was women. Okay? Galatians. Judges chapter 16. Look at Judges chapter 16. We have this story of Delilah. You know, Samson's laying on Delilah's lap. And she says, Samson, would you please tell me all the, you know, wherein does your strength lie? So he gives her all these big, long, you know, spiels. And so they do it. And he hops up and he breaks it and kind of shakes himself and he goes swinging. All right? And finally, she gets him to tell him, verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. Now, this guy had a lot of hair. 7 locks. Okay, I don't know what that is, but it's a lot. Okay? And sounds like Shakespeare or something. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Must have been something he just liked to do. You know. And he goes out and he shakes himself. But the Bible says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know what it was? He went out. And he didn't know, because he had given into his flesh, he didn't even realize that he was doing this. He's swinging, but the blows that he was swinging had no effect. The people he was grabbing, you know, he used to be able to pick up and probably just honestly chuck across the room. Couldn't even, wait a second, something's not right. Okay? You know, folks, let's do things with the power of God, not in our own flesh. Saul. Bible talks about Saul, how the Spirit of God came upon him. You know what got Saul? It was still his flesh, but it was pride. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, wast not God with thee? But I didn't paraphrase that. Okay? Let's be careful. Let's not let our flesh get in the way. Let's start every day, God, I need you today. Can you help me today? I need help at work. I need help witnessing. I need help today. I need to be help being a good husband. I need help being a good wife. I need help being a good daddy and a good mommy. God, I need your help. Let's put away that flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for all that you teach us through your word. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.